make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag. And we are still in the small room, and now I'm sick, too. So not only are we really close to each other, but now I can cough all over you. Mm. So if you see any weird edits, it's because I went into a coughing fit.
But, and I've dived out of the way, so yeah. Not to get germs.
But I'm taking care of myself. I'm drinking lots of concentrated orange juice, which is the main ingredient in Diet Mountain Dew, and lots of vitamins. And by vitamins, I mean five-hour energy. So
yeah, you might as well just be drinking turpentine.
Yeah, and we've got a special guest in the studio today. And introduce yourself. Who are you, Sean?
Sean Keen.
Sean Keen. And your Channel 9 name?
Commander Keen.
Commander Keen. So Commander Keen's here. Welcome. And so you always love to have a live studio audience. So if you're here in Redmond, let us know. And we'd be happy to have you come watch us.
But no hecklers.
No hecklers, no. So let's get started. First question we have today is from Ian, depending on how you pronounce that. And he says, on the show on October 30th, covering the upgrade process, Gove mentions at 11:45 minute mark that we've provided some new APIs in 8.1, allowing them to register for the upgrade notification that they can keep around a specific update program if they so desire. I'd love to learn more about this. I haven't been able to find any documentation.
It was actually kind of funny. The day that we got the question, we didn't actually have the documentation live, and a few hours later, it actually did go live.
Cool.
And the link is right here. It's under the Windows Setup and Migration reference. These callbacks that you can register for are basically, if you have an app running post-upgrade, you can pull for these notifications. It'll basically say when UBI is completed, the out-of-box experience is completed.
Yeah.
And what we're basically going for with these notifications is we want to have an XE or service that is very lightweight, does not have version detection in it, but is able to know when a setup is completed, which is a major OS milestone, mm-hmm. so to speak, to go and potentially repair itself if it's taken, if it knows that it won't properly survive an upgrade, or for things like AV software, where you know you're going to be pulling down a later version of the AV engine after an upgrade occurs. You want to register for these notifications so that you'll know that, hey, during setup, to back off from whatever it is that you might be doing, you know, to get out of the way of the OS. And then after upgrades when UBI is completed, saying, oh, okay, now let me go and see if I need to repair anything, if I need to go and check for updates. It's a little bit lighter weight than, say, doing it on every machine startup. You mm-hmm. know, if you're constantly going to check for repairs, probably most of the time it's unnecessary. But after an OS upgrade, is definitely a good time to go and see if there's a newer engine for whatever software that you might have, or if you need to repair yourself, pull down new signatures, and the like. There's actually a very simple mechanism. You know, the reference is pretty lightweight. You just register for a callback, we send a message when we're done, and then you can unregister for that callback after it's completed.
Cool. All right, next question from our buddy Magic Andre. He says, I noticed that the 8.1 updates only contain GDR files and no longer LDR QFE files. Why is this done in 8.1? Do you have a word for LDR QFE? Is that
Yeah, we'll go over the terminology. A GDR is a general distribution release. Uh-huh. An LDR is a limited distribution release, or QFE, which is a quick fix engineering.
All right.
I believe.
That sounds good to me.
I haven't actually expanded the acronym for QFE in a long time.
Okay. But it's, what do you say, LIDAR QFE?
No, LDR QFE.
Oh, you actually say the letters.
I actually say the letter.
Cool.
I've never heard anyone say litter QFE.
Yeah. So why is this done in 8.1?
Basically, there's two different trees for the QFEs and or for GDRs and LDRs. Mm-hmm. So GDRs go up onto Woo. It's given to everybody basically at the same time.
Yeah.
LDRs are point fixes that are made for specific requests. So a customer with a support contract or an end user or whatever, they call in and they request a particular fix for a particular problem. Now, we may do a very targeted fix that makes it work for that particular environment, and it may be too destabilizing to release, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Right? Or it's such a very specific issue that nobody else would benefit from it. So fixes of those natures go into the LDR branch. The GDR branch, as I said, is for general distribution. Now, for 8.1, currently, we've basically said all of our fixes are for general distribution. So we've not had to create a fork of the tree to do LDR-style fixes that are going out to specific users. So basically, all the fixes that we have are going out to everybody. And we want to keep the GDR track for as long as possible, because the way that the servicing works is that once you pick up something that is specifically LDR, that binary is always on an LDR track until a major service pack or an upgrade occurs when the two can converge again.
Yeah.
So we want people to be on the GDR track as it is more heavily used, more widely tested. The test matrix is just reduced when you don't have to worry about multiple fixes that might be in an LDR that's not in a GDR.
Cool. Okay. From Nathaniel, I have a problem with hybrid boot on my laptop, a W530 running Windows 8.1. I have fast startup enabled under power options, and when I run shutdown.exe/s/hybrid, it works, but if I use the shutdown menu, it just does a normal shutdown. Any ideas?
Yeah, so I actually asked him the question. There's a lot of different ways of shutting down the OS, and first, you know, we'll talk about the hybrid boot. Under power options, choose what the power button does. So these shutdown settings, turn on fast startup. This is the hybrid boot. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this in the past, one of the improvements in 8.1, where it doesn't actually do a full shutdown. It basically logs you off and does a hibernate.
Yeah.
So it's a much faster boot up. Now, what Nathaniel was doing was going through this particular option.
Windows X
shutdown.
Okay.
This particular method actually does a full shutdown, and it's...
Why is it different?
It just never got hooked up to the Charms, which is the most used way of shutting down the system. So this shutdown will actually run through the hybrid boot command. The WinKey X, unfortunately, does not. So it mirrors what you would do with the shutdown.exe without the hybrid switch.
Okay, cool. All right, from Juan, he says, I'm trying to install Windows Server 2012 R2 on an old workstation. I'm getting the message your PC ran into a problem and needs to restart with just enough time to read the message before reboot. The install media is okay. Windows 7 Enterprise was installed and running before on the same hardware. Installed Windows Server 2008 R2 without any issues. Tried to install Windows Server 2012 R2 with Windows Server 2008 R2, but at the end of the message indicated that it cannot be installed and that this installation is canceled. Any suggestions?
Okay, so he's got Win 7 and Server 2008 R2, which are essentially the same, right? But there was no try of Win 8 or Windows Server 2012.
Yeah.
So we actually don't know what it does with that particular OS. Mm-hmm. But what we actually need for this one are the Panther logs for the setup, which would, if you're doing an upgrade from a previous OS, would be C:\Windows.tilde BT sources Panther. So if you zip that, or it would be under the C:\Windows sources Panther folder.
Okay.
So it either, there was either a bug check, or there was some other issue during the setup. It's possible that the machine was too old. It doesn't support some of the new instructions that are required. If you run a core info from sysinternals and send a log of that, that would actually really help as well. It'll tell what processor features are available.
Okay. From Dario, a question that perhaps can be interesting for the show. How can I search for a folder using 8.1 Modern Search? On Windows 7, if you start typing on the Start menu, the results show both files and folders matching your criteria. But on 8.1, seems that folder names are no longer on the list. For me, that's a problem because I work on many projects that share file names, index.html, for example, and a file name search is useless without the context of a folder. Windows 7 was okay, I searched for the folder, then I navigate from there, but on Windows 8.1, I no longer do so. It's impossible for me to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that is unfortunate, actually. It's a known issue. It was a known issue in Windows 8, and it's a known issue in Windows 8.1. We don't have folder matching. We only have file matching, which for the vast majority of users, file matching tends to work fine.
Yeah.
For someone that is doing something like this, where the same number, same names of files in multiple folders, you just have to go back to the Desktop Explorer, which still has that searching capability.
Well, and if you go to Desktop Explorer, I think if you do a search and the default view it won't show folders either, but you can just go up to select details and it'll show you everything. You can sort by folders and you can see the folders in there.
I've always been able to search by folders. Or show folders, I should say.
Well, I'm having nice flu hallucinations, so maybe I just hallucinated. Try it out and let's see.
Let's see, do I actually have any documents? Sure, search for WinDiff then.
Do a wildcard search.
There you go. Okay. I see folders.
I meant like a column that shows what folder the file is in. So if you didn't index HTML, because it's not a folder, it wouldn't.
Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So okay. If you just go up and you choose details, you'll see everything that you need to know, so you can see the path that you're looking for, but yeah. It's under view. The view tab.
Or other properties and folder path.
There you go. Alrighty. Good? Okay. Next question. We'll just skip right past that. From Gavin, my question is in regards to Microsoft Security Essentials. Either when using the standalone client on Windows 7 or the baked-in version on Windows 8 8.1, I experience a system slowdown, most notably a significant CPU spike when opening a folder full of .exe and .rar files. Said folder contains applications I use for new Windows installs. I'd really like to ditch my current third-party AV as I really like the idea of relying on Microsoft's anti-malware technology. But as I access the aforementioned folder quite regularly, the drag I experience is too annoying to do so. Is there a setting I can change in MSE to eliminate this problem?
Yeah, actually in MSE, if you go to the advanced options, you can exclude either specific processes from scanning in case you had a particular process that ran that was causing the slowdown, or you can just exclude an entire folder location, which is what I tend to do for like my build machines, for example. I'll just completely exclude my source enlistment drive. You know, it doesn't need to have a virus scan on
there. Okay. From Pedro, another issue that I just started up after upgrading to 8.1 on my desktop, I initially saw an error in the Pictures app saying, sorry, there was a problem, try again later. I went looking at my Pictures library and I saw that all my libraries had default icons, see the screenshot attached. When I try to open any of them, I get the error message attached, my user is not admin, and my documents and my Pictures folders are both pointing to the folders in my D drive.
Yeah, so Pedro did some moving around of the folders in the library, and libraries just fundamentally got screwed up.
Yeah.
But what you can do is just delete the old libraries. So if you go to your C:\users, username, app data, roaming, Microsoft Windows libraries, here's where your actual libraries are stored. And the libraries are really nothing more than saved searches.
Yeah.
Or is very similar to a saved search. So what you can do is just delete these. Pedro can do that himself. Just delete those and then go back to whatever folder that he wants in the library, even if it's on the D drive. So for example, I mean, I don't have a D drive on the system, but let's just pick this driver, say include in library and say create new library.
Okay.
And you can just create a new library out of an existing folder if you wanted to. or create a new library and then add new libraries within it. So this is how you can just easily create your existing libraries after deleting them, or create brand new ones, which are also quite handy sometimes.
Okay, cool. All right, next question. I'm using Outlook.com and the second factor authentication, trying to familiarize with the usage and options. I can see that I can create an app password for apps that still need a single alphanumeric password. I can also wipe all the passwords created, but it seems I can't manage them. Remove only one, for example. Seems that the system encourages to keep creating new passwords, since to remove the old ones, you're forced to remove them all. That seems a security concern in my book, but perhaps I'm not understanding the math behind the system. Is not better to let the user manage a password list, removing the old ones he or she doesn't need anymore, or are leaked?
The problem with the letting the user manage them is if a machine has been compromised, then whomever has compromised that machine mm-hmm. has access to everything,
yeah.
right? And you don't want them going in and changing the password on you. So the safest thing was simply to actually just wipe them out. And since they're randomly generated passwords, really managing them is not all that useful.
Yeah.
So creating brand new ones is like, okay, well, it was random before and it's random now. You only ever used it for one particular application on a device. And that's basically its whole goal in life, is to make sure that this particular password is associated with this particular application on a particular device.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and it is pick of the week time. Pick of the week, and your pick of the week is mouse lag mitigation, Windows 8.1.
Right, so when Windows 8.1 first released, there was some folks that are on high-precision gaming systems with the things like Razer mice or high-resolution mice.
High DPI mice, yeah.
Well, not high DPI, high refresh rate mice.
Oh, okay.
So that's a little bit different. It's basically how much the mouse is sampled.
All right.
Anyways, with changes in 8.1, what was found is that you'd get some perceptible, especially for these very good gaming people, mm-hmm. You get perceptible mouse lag. And we've produced a hotfix for that, that you can go and install. It's KB2908279. And we've prefixed some applications, which we don't actually mention in this particular KB. But things like WoW, Call of Duty, some
the
new
important productivity apps.
It is really associated with games.
Yeah.
So we've got a canned list that that will fix some of these games. And as part of the fix, you can also add other applications to the list, things that we don't know about. If you find a game that is having a problem, specifically on 9.1, a desktop game, specifically with mouse lag, you can go to the registry and add a compat flag to the executable by putting in its full path and by adding a value name of no DTT, no DT to DIT mouse batch, desktop thread to the desktop input thread mouse batch. And you'll have to flush the cache with another command, and from an elevated CMD, run DLL32, apphelp.dll, shim flush cache, all title cased. This is case sensitive, by the way.
Okay.
You don't need to reboot the machine, but you will need to reboot the machine after you install the patch, but you don't need to reboot it after setting values in the registry. If you do ever have to set values in the registry, please let me know so that we can add those to the upcoming GDR release of this fix that will be going out soon. We don't obviously want people to be continually adding to this list on their own. We want to hear back from you so that we can get it in and so everyone can benefit.
Cool. Is that it?
For this particular mouse lag issue?
Okay.
Yeah, this is it.
Cool.
The KB explained some more. If you're a game vendor, again, please let us know. You can pre-install this key with your game if you have to, but if you do, again, let us know beforehand so that we can ensure that we get the fixes into our main database.
Okay, and my pick of the week is also gaming related, and I saw on PC Gamer this week that they are going to build what they're calling the Large Pixel Collider. And it's I love the idea of this. It's a supercomputer specifically for running games. And so they're going to build the best system that they can possibly build,
okay.
Take it around with them to trade shows, let people try it out, let them see what it's like, and keep updating it with the latest hardware as that stuff comes out. Yeah, and I really like, if you saw on Reddit this week, there seems to be like a renaissance of PC gaming, which is really interesting. And so yeah, I like the idea of this. Another related thing too is they talked about how they're going to be going to 4K displays as that comes out, and higher. And yesterday I was over visiting with Gavin Gear from the Extreme Windows blog, and he had one of the very inexpensive, I think it's Seiko TVs, the 4K TVs that Sears has, and I think they still have an exclusive on it. But they came out at $799. It's an actual 4K display, and it is beautiful. It's
really?
Like a desktop display.
Mm-hmm.
So you just hook it up to your computer. Now the only issue with
that is it DisplayPort.
I think it's the latest version of HDMI, if
okay.
I remember right, but I'll find out. But yeah, it was interesting. Now the caveat that he had with that is when it's in 4K. It's 30 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suspect that if I had my computer all maxed out with graphics, I'd probably be around there anyway. So I don't think that would be a huge issue for me. I think 30 frames per second is pretty good for having all the settings all the way up on a game. So
you might still notice it, though.
You might still notice it. But yeah, I'd still like to try out three of those displays, and I saw recently,
have
three
of
those in an Infinity. So, 39 inches, 4K. That's a lot of pixels. So, do the math, millions of pixels. And the other cool thing with that display is I saw this week where it's actually down to $500. So a 4K display for $500 would be difficult to beat.
Yeah, it's kind of telling me, though, that they're going to be pushing out a next version pretty darn soon.
Yeah.
They're going to be liquidating inventory.
Yeah, and they also have a 50-inch version of the 4K display as well. So, but still, they are 30 frames per second if you're going to go gaming. That might not be the best option, but it is an option. So try it out.
But if you're not gaming, since the number 4K videos out there are, like, negligible...
Yeah.
You're really going to be taking advantage of it.
Yeah, yeah, there is that, but that's okay. I mean, the thing that I really liked about it when I was checking it out is there's just so much screen real estate. Now, the thing with that is you want to put your scaling up to, like, at least 200%,
because mm-hmm.
everything's so small on it. But Gavin was using this display right in front of him, which I approve of that usage, and it looked pretty amazing. So
we just need that as a touch display.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So, well, except for everything so small, you'd have to have minuscule little fingers to poke some of those things. But I would like to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to head over there with a video camera and see if Gavin will let me try that out and put a video up on Channel 9. The other thing that I saw yesterday was Cash Monet. You loved that, didn't you? It was one of your favorite
things. Made my eyes bleed.
All right, so I'll link to the Verge article on it. We won't even get into it. I'll just, I hate to ruin the surprise.
Yes, yes. Everyone, go see this.
I'll put a link.
We'll see which camp you're in. Are you in the Larry camp or are you in the Gove camp?
I enjoyed it. I had it playing on my computer for like 45 minutes last night. But when you saw it, you had your volume down.
Yes,
so you missed.
Thankfully.
You missed it all. All right. So that's the show for this week. If you have questions, write us at defragshow@microsoft.com, or you can leave comments in the show notes. We prefer the email, so Gove can go back and forth with you in the middle of the night with your problems. And we'll see you next week.
Fare thee well.